start at the beginning. So in Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look in the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." Hallelujah. Amen. "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasping his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So, should the first slide up, Steve? That's the old slide. That's my first speech. Should we go through that again? Look, it'll be all about my family. It's the 19th one. Yeah. Great, the Great Commission. I'll just stop there and read it. So the mission of the church. So after Jesus' death and resurrection, he spent 40 days on earth ministering to people and preparing his disciples for life without him. Jesus plans on leaving the earth and ascending to heaven. But before doing so, he gave his disciples a mission found in Matthew 28:19-20, often called this the Great Commission. The Great Commission begins with getting up and going to places where people need to hear the good word of Jesus. It doesn't mean you have to leave the country. There are people in your own neighborhood and workplace that need to hear the hope of Jesus. The ultimate goal of the Great Commission is to make followers of Jesus. So as we're about to share the good news of Jesus and people, we are to show people how Jesus changed our lives and invite them to discover Jesus for themselves. So it could be easy thinking about making disciples is a responsibility of the church pastors or the ministry leaders, but it's not. While those things are part of every church's mission, Jesus intends all his believers to be helped in making disciples. So just take a moment to think about your own life and who helps you grow spiritually. So take a moment to think about that. All right, lovely. So who helped you to grow spiritually? I know for me, I went to a church when I was young and I was baptized with water. And then I lost my dad, so I lost my faith. And the church roof burnt off, so I thought that's definitely a good sign, so I'm not going back there. So that was the end of that. But as I grew up, then Jesus spoke to me himself, and I started to feel it in my bones and in my soul. I just felt that I belonged to Jesus, and I started to get more and more interested, so I started to read the Bible, and it all started to grow that way. So how did it work for you? It's all different for everybody, isn't it? Yeah. So allow God to give you the courage to share the hope of Jesus with those around you. Who do you know that needs Jesus in your lives? And how will you share with that faith with them today? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Now, when Jesus left us, he left us the Holy Spirit to work in us, didn't he? And through us. He gives us the strength in his name to help other people find the Lord, giving them salvation and peace in their lives. And that's what we all strive for, isn't it? So in John, I should have been, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well done. So, right, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I have said. That's Jesus' words. So we're called to go out and make disciples through the authority of Jesus. And we're under the rule of the King of Kings, aren't we? And we will not succeed but in our own power, but through his power. So we need his power. We can't do anything for our own. I think a lot of people realise that very early on when we stumble. Next slide. So how do we make disciples? So just before Jesus returns to heaven, so look, imagine you're a disciple in the day of Jesus, and it was hard in those days, wasn't it? So just before Jesus returns to heaven, he commands you to tell all nations the story of the gospel. You've got to go out and tell it for him. In your travels, you encounter new people and cultures that you share God's love with, done through his son, Jesus. People's lives are changed because of God's salvation, and he's working through you. So it must be amazing for those people at that time, wasn't it? Because they had a very difficult life, didn't they? You know, it was hard life, they had hard labour, they had to walk for miles and miles and miles, they didn't have cars. Not many people had donkeys, so you know, it was difficult, wasn't it? So they would walk for days and days and days. We laughing at So God asks us to continue to make disciples in Jesus' name. It's the only name that can give us salvation. Disciple making starts with loving others as God loves us. It involves thoughtful. We can teach others about discipleship as we go in our daily lives. Next one. So we need to model it in our lives, don't we? Although we might not think we're the best people to model it, if we've got love in our hearts for Jesus, we are still good examples, aren't we? I know we all make mistakes, but modelling. But as you know, promote the kind of living that reflects the right teaching that it says in Titus 2:1. If we want to help people know God, it's important to have hearts that demonstrate Jesus' teachings. Jesus cared for the poor and the oppressed. He cared more of the inward heart and attitudes than the outward demonstrations. He sacrificed himself for the good of others. And when the model of Jesus' sacrificial love and the compassion in our relationships, we are illustrating that we've been transformed by God's love. And that we may live and we may invite others to experience that sort of love that's transformed us. I'm going to go off. I was watching this little, you know when you flick through your phone? And you know the astronauts have just come back from America. There was a little clip on that, bloke goes, he was showing pictures of the moon. He goes, the first thing he said was, I'm not religious, but I can't believe that, you know, this creation, it started to make him think. Sometimes, you know, God does that for us, doesn't he? So everything we do in our lives, we model it, don't we? And we model the love that Jesus gave us. Because what's the first thing that Jesus wanted to love one another, isn't it? Right, next one. So mentoring. Give instruction to the wise and they will become wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will gain in learning, it says in Proverbs 9:9. So as we grow intimacy with God, we can offer wisdom to people we know. We can listen to them. We can take time to listen to them, can't we? Listen to people's stories and then encourage them to walk with God through their experiences. It can lead to a powerful relationship. So we all have to start as baby Christians, and we all start in the beginning, isn't it? So before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples a command to make more disciples. And that's sort of our job as well, isn't it? I know it's hard. I've seen Kerry in action. She's very good. Because I was walking around Sainsbury's once. I'm going off again. Right, so I'm walking around Sainsbury's. I could hear this little voice. And I looked around. There was Kerry. And there was this bloke. And she goes, oh, hello. She's straight in his face. He wasn't able to go anywhere because she was right in front of him. So it's just making. And sometimes God puts you in those positions, doesn't he, to make those conversations. And sometimes it's through people's pain. when they're feeling pain, that's a good time to grow, you know, grow close to them and have that little conversation. You know, just being a friend, being kind. It's really, really important, isn't it? So, before Jesus ascended to heaven, to make more disciples, he declared that all disciples should be made in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is a comforting reminder that when we make disciples, we are doing it in the power that we know that comes from him, not from us. Sometimes you get really scared to talk to people, don't you? But somehow you're there and you're talking before you know it. That's the power of Jesus, isn't it? The Holy Spirit working in us. He gives us that courage and that strength, doesn't he? So God's grace goes before us, and the Holy Spirit works in the heart, in our hearts, and it transforms other hearts. This is possible because of what Jesus had accomplished on that cross, dying for us to take away those sins. So take a moment again to think about someone you'd like to draw closer to God and how you can show them, show up in their lives today. And like I said, sometimes it's just friendship, getting them, letting them get to know you and you get to know them. Lorna's side of phone, I'm so Lorna's saying. A phone call, yes. A check-in. See if they're okay, yes. Because, God sent Jesus, God in flesh. He came down, didn't he? He was a human being. He felt what we felt. He felt pain. He felt anger. This is what people forget. He felt all those emotions. He knows us inside out. He knows our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. And he still forgave us for all our wicked ways that we just can't seem to shake sometimes, can we? You know, sometimes we don't deliberately do things. We find ourselves in situations. But we're forgiven for all of that. For Jesus dying on the cross, aren't we? So, now, I was reading this again. I've already said this, but it's about how I struggled when I was younger. And it's really difficult. I mean, I don't know if I told you this before, but when I was younger, I came from Australia as the first slider. I had a long hair. I had my nanny used to cut. Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. I can visualise it now, but it's not good. So I'd hair down to here. And my nana used to stick a bowl on my head and cut round with scissors. And then I had National Health glasses, so I used to stand on them. And I would have taught Australian as well. So I just basically got beat up everywhere I went. So it's building up that strength, isn't it? Strengthening yourself. And knowing that somebody loves you. And God loves us. Amen. He builds that strength. It's just amazing, isn't it? Yeah, no, that was a long, long journey. A lot of schools. I mean, should I tell you now? Maybe not. Well, I had to shave my head and be toughen up a bit. So I ended up playing rugby and knocking lots of people out. That built me up. So shouldn't have told you that bit, should I? So there you go. Right. It is. Okay. Yeah, I am sorry. Right. So show people who you are. It's a big, like I said, it's a big challenge, and we have to build our confidence to be able to talk to somebody we don't know. That's really difficult, isn't it? But do you believe in Jesus? Yes. So we can do it. Build up that personal relationship with him, with our Lord and our Saviour. So now I know that Jesus set the scene. He puts us in position to sow little seeds. Sometimes we talk to people, we make a difference in their lives. We don't know about it till later. We might not ever know about it. But sometimes they come back, years and years later, oh, you really helped me because you said this at this time. And you didn't realise, did you? But it made such a difference in their life. That's spreading the love of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. So, we're not just here to share information, but to transform lives. not to convert, but to make followers of Jesus Christ. Not decisions, but discipleship. And we're going to step out of our comfort zones, I know. Invite people into a new identity. And to help others grow in obedience and faith. This is a calling for every believer. But we will not do it in our own way. Because Jesus will be there with us, isn't he? We will come across people that look like us. And we will come across people that don't look like us. We'll come across our neighbours, won't we? People from all across the world. We'll break down fear. We'll break down prejudice. Because we'll share God's love with everybody. And we'll have the promise that Jesus loves us. And he'll always be with us through everything. In fear, in rejection, and uncertainty. So in today's world, at home, we need to sort of raise our kids in faith. At work, we need to reflect Christ in integrity and love. In the community, we need to be the light through kindness and truth. And then globally, we can pray and we can give. So our mission is where God has put us. He's here. We're here. It's where he places us. We're placed in different places. But God's always with us. And sometimes there's a reason for that. And then it suddenly clicks, doesn't it? So, I'm going to say a short prayer, Lord. Lord, give us boldness wherever we go. Compassion to love and faith to trust in your presence. Help us to make disciples and live out the calling of every day in our lives today, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, next slide. Right, so what are the relationships like in your life? Are we loving each other as Jesus wanted us to do? Relationships are part of God's plan. We are created to live not in isolation, but in connection. Connection with God, connection with our families, with our friends and others in the community. Relationships, they shape who we are, don't they? So they challenge us. And they reveal what's truly in our hearts. If we are honest, relationships can be beautiful and they can be really difficult as well, as you know. They bring great joy and sometimes deep pain. Because we struggle, you know, we struggle a lot. Life isn't supposed to be easy, it's terrible sometimes, isn't it? There's a lot we go through, but God is always on our side, isn't he? Jesus is there, isn't he? Amen. So what does it look like to build a healthy healthy relationship? So love isn't something we just fall into. It's something that we choose over and over again. It's easy to love when it's going well, but real love shows up in patience and forgiveness and staying when things get hard. Love's not just about emotions. It's about commitment and action. So ask yourself, do you choose kindness when you're frustrated? Do you choose understanding over being right? Are you always right? Or do you just, do you listen to people and just work with it? Don't forget, none of us are perfect. Every relationship involves imperfect people. Trying to connect, because we're all broken, aren't we? We're doing the best we can. And that means grace is essential. Yeah, we can see others' flaws, so let's choose to be compassionate. Let's don't go about it. Let's forgive them. I'm just joking. But, we can extend grace relationships that become safe. They become safe places to grow when you live in grace. Building relationships are all about communication. And then when we speak to people, let's speak honestly and listen to them deeply and seek understanding from their point of view. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Let's live that life. Let's be gracious and kind and forgiving. Let's build those connections and build those bonds remember, forgiveness sets us free, doesn't it? And it's hard for a lot of people, I know. It's really hard. I think forgiveness is probably the hardest, isn't it? It can be. Forgiveness doesn't mean what happened is okay, though. It means we refuse to let the pain control our future. And every relationship requires forgiveness continually, over and over again. So, when we love, let's love well. Let's reflect patience. Let's be kind and selflessness. Let us become the light of the world for Jesus. Because we know there's struggles, we know there's division, we know there's isolation. Let's bind all those things up. Let's make a family. We've got family here. We've got a wonderful family. And we all love each other, don't we? So we can only do our best. And we know that none of us are perfect. So let's put this all together and see if we can make strong relationships in Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, shall we sing the last song?
Thank you, Mark. Just as the worship team come back, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions, if I may. Number one is, has anybody got anything this week that they can share with us where they've seen Jesus at work in their life? Yes, Kerry, you want to share it with us? Come forward.
Well, it's only a small thing, but yesterday we went to a wedding. And I think a few years ago I told you about Catherine, my niece, who was in hospital with alcohol poisoning. And when Rachel and Philip met her, she couldn't actually walk in a straight line. And she was, over years, she's dry. We were praying for her here. And I think she's 50, I think so. She got married yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So that was just the grace of God, really, in her life. And she's sober. Her partner, her husband now. I don't quite understand this bit, but God does. He's not yet believer. So he's not happy, not contented about church. So she goes to a house group on a Monday, which is her church. That's her church in the day. And it's just very special, very special.
Thank you. Thanks, Kerry. That wasn't so little in my head. That was big. And I'm sure if we were to sit and spend a couple of moments, I'll shut up in a minute, honest. If we were to spend a couple of moments, we can all think of stories like that at some point in our lives, can't we? But A, it's encouraging to share it in this environment. It's also encouraging and helpful and discipleship to share them out there. Because if you had that conversation with somebody else, and as Mark said, you don't know what that conversation will do in that person's life. So, yes. Yes, yeah.
Yes.
For the purpose of everybody on Zoom, what Heather's just saying is that where Mark was talking about the astronaut that's just come down in Artemis 2, don't know if it's the same one that Mark referenced, but you go up into space and you see it, you read it time and time again. People go up there as non-believers and come down as believers. You can't look at that and say, that's Big Bang. It has to happen somehow. You know what I mean? So he's got a story for life, hasn't he now? You know, he's got a story for life and he is sharing it. You know, so when do we share our story? 3 weeks' time. Stockfold Mill. There's about 25 of us here this morning. We could all go and share one thing with one person as we walk around that field. And you and I will never know the difference that makes. May never know the difference that makes. But that person will and God will. Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Say, though, that it's just a memory that a person came in here with, and it was Adrian, and you were saying about how you had gone into church and spoke to somebody, into hospital, and you made a friendship there.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy sort of sent you a letter to say how much he appreciated it. And I just thought that's like an example of how you go out and share just things, and you don't realise how much it impacts on somebody else's life. So it was just something that I thought about that I thought was relevant to mention today, Adrian. I hope that was okay. Lord Jesus, in the name of God the Father, you grant forgiveness of sins, thus healing the sick by your holy name. Deliver us from evil and grant us your peace and good health. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. Nothing can stand against the name of Jesus. Amen.